this is, for he is the one that I love to look on. A Ted Lasso fic, written by Rockin' Hamburger and read by KLB. 1. As his folks exit the campus parking lot, Beard exhales. He feels immediately lighter. The pressure to entertain them while ignoring half of the ignorant things they say officially off his shoulders. Thank fuck they were only here for the welcome barbecue and a tour of the campus. With the majority of students hosting their families for the weekend, several hours of blissful solitude are ahead of him. Beard needs time to recharge the energy he used up entertaining his parents. He's on his way back to his dorm room, where he plans to spend the rest of his night smoking copious amounts of weed, when his peripheral vision picks up someone in the student lounge. Ted Lasso is sitting alone on one of the couches reading a book, the room otherwise empty. Beard's intensely curious about what book Ted's reading, but he doesn't like to interrupt that sacred activity, so he's about to leave when Ted looks up. "Hey, Beard!" "Hey," Beard says, stepping into the room. "What's up?" "Just the ceiling," Ted says with a cheesy grin. He's wearing a golf shirt, jeans, and a pair of red sneakers that Beard covets. Brightly, Ted says, "Come on and pull up a seat." Ted has a wholesome vibe, brimming with southern charm. Beard's still not sure if the face Ted puts on is entirely genuine. He's enthusiastic, friendly, and extremely extroverted, flitting from group to group during parties. Ted's made an impression on campus. People gravitate towards him. Beard once watched Ted start a massive game of frisbee on the quad, pulling one person after another into the growing circle. That's charisma. Beard isn't sure what to make of Ted yet. He's in two of Beard's classes and lives down the hall, so Beard has had a few interactions with him, mostly during floor parties. They also talked while they were waiting in line for dinner a couple weeks back. Ted made 3 puns in the course of 4 minutes, only one of which Beard characterized as quality. Beard sits down, deciding this is as good an opportunity as any to make up his mind about Ted. "We got statistics together, don't we?" Ted asks. Beard nods. "And anthropology." "Right, right," Ted says, nodding pleasantly. "Sorry, forgot about that one. Anthropology." Beard cringes and then narrows his eyes at Ted's shit-eating grin. It hasn't occurred to him until now that Ted might be making terrible puns on purpose. "Worst pun you've ever told," Beard prompts. Ted rubs his hands together. "Ooh, gosh, so many to choose from. I did make my American lit professor speechless with this one. Last week I called someone a watering hole, but I meant well." Beard shakes his head. "Nope, you failed. That's not a bad pun at all." Somehow, Ted's grin gets wider. "All right, you got me. That was a brag. Proud of that one." Beard grins and absently leans forward to check the title of Ted's book. "To Kill a Mockingbird, huh?" Ted picks the book up with a flourish. "Assigned reading for the aforementioned lit class. We read it in high school, but I gotta say, I'm getting a lot more out of it this time. Mostly because I didn't read it the first time." Beard snorts. "Is there anything less motivating than having to read a book for your high school English class?" Ted laughs. "Heck, I like that. English class was to blame, not my commitment to procrastination." "Can't it be both?" "Boy, howdy, if that ain't it." Ted's accent suggests he grew up somewhere close by, but that can be hard to pin down precisely. Beard's Kansas through and through, but he trained himself out of the accent years ago. Curiously, he asks, "Where did you go to high school?" "Blue Valley Northwest, baby," Ted mimes, shooting a basketball. then cringes like he's missed. And with that, Beard makes up his mind about Ted. "What about you?" Ted asks. "Topeka West." Ted cups his hands around his mouth so his words echo loudly through the room. "Representing the West!" It's so unabashedly enthusiastic that a laugh bursts out of him. Ted lights up in response, and Beard can suddenly, easily imagine Ted like this in high school, the class clown hamming it up all the time, using humor and enthusiasm to ward off the mentality that anything remotely weird should be stamped out. Beard was able to do something similar as the resident high school stoner, allowed to exist because he was quiet in a mysterious sort of way, and the obvious person to go to if you needed weed. A student and, presumably, his parents enter the student lounge. The two of them straighten up automatically, the air in the room shifting. This interruption reminds Beard that there's probably a reason Ted's not out there entertaining his own family, and Ted might appreciate an invitation to hang out. Beard could be wrong, but his gut instinct tells him Ted would also be down to smoke copious amounts of weed. "So," Beard says when they're alone in the lounge again, "my folks are headed back to Topeka. Not sure what your plans are, but do you have an opinion on the devil's lettuce?" It takes a second, and then Ted beams. "Why, yes, I do. This growing boy knows vegetables are good for him." With an appreciative laugh, Beard stands up. "So, should we beat it?" Ted jumps to his feet, book raised in the air. "Yes!" During the walk to his dorm room, Ted tells Beard a wild story about his prom night that suggests Beard clocked Ted correctly. He might present as wholesome, but Ted's definitely got an adventurous streak. Beard's dorm is still and silent when they arrive. Beard removes the necessities from his stash drawer and sits on his bed, leaning against the wall. Ted's still standing by the door like he doesn't want to intrude. "You can sit." That's what Ted was waiting for, apparently, because he takes his shoes off and joins Beard on the opposite end of the bed as Beard lights up the joint. "That's not going to set off the alarm?" Ted asks. Beard shrugs. "Hasn't so far." He takes another drag and passes it to Ted, who inhales and coughs. Heaving himself up, Beard gets them glasses of water and hands one to Ted, before he sets his on the side table and clambers down to take the joint back. Ted looks over at the other bed, bare of sheets and comforter. "Do you have a clean freak for a roommate?" he asks, voice rough from the coughing. When he's taken two puffs, Beard passes the joint over again. "Haven't seen him in a while. Came back from class one day, and all his stuff was gone. I think he dropped out." Ted takes another drag, holding the smoke in, then letting it out. He raises his eyebrows. "Wow. I hope he's all right." Beard looks over at Ted as he's taking the joint back again. The thought that John might not be all right hadn't once crossed his mind. Should he have thought that? Beard didn't have much of a chance to get to know John. He, like Beard, was quiet and kept to himself, spending most of his time out of the room and showing up primarily to sleep. Regret springs up at the fact that Beard doesn't have a way to reach out to him. He makes a mental note to make more of an effort to get to know whoever they assign him with next. Ted laughs suddenly. "I'm sure my roommate wishes I'd drop out." When Beard hums inquisitively, he elaborates, "I don't think we're the best match. Says I talk too much." Inexplicably, Beard feels mildly offended on Ted's behalf. He has no way of knowing what it's like to bunk with Ted, but he's not talking Beard's ear off or just talking to fill in silence. Beard leans forward to put the end of the joint in the ashtray he keeps by the bed. "Sounds like a dick," he says, when he returns to lean against the wall. Ted chuckles, rubbing the back of his neck. "Oh, I don't know. I probably do talk too much." Beard can feel himself relaxing. He shoves a pillow behind his head, stretching his legs out over the side of the bed. The weed has pulled him into a philosophical mood. "Few years ago, I read this book about bears. They spend a lot of time in solitude. I could identify. My folks were always trying to pull me out of hibernation. Said I needed to be more social." Beard closes his eyes on the gradually shifting image of himself as a bear to a wolf, part of a pack. "I feel different here. Like I can be more than one thing. But after a few hours with my folks today, I'm right back to feeling like a bear again." Beard shrugs. "One person's too much is another person's not enough." "Gosh," Ted says, looking over. "You got a gift with words, Beard." No one has ever thought that about Beard. He picks up his water glass and holds it out, and Ted clinks his against Beard's. "So, your folks were in town for the weekend?" Ted asks. "Just for the day," Beard says, "which is preferable. They're all right, but, we've just never seen eye to eye. What about you? You got folks in town?" "Nah, my mom had to work," Ted replies, tapping his fingers against his water glass. Beard notes the absence of any mention of a father in the picture and decides not to ask. He's known far too many people with deadbeat dads to feel like prying. "Well, glad I walked by the student lounge when I did," Beard says. Ted meets his eye and smiles. "I'm real glad you did, too." 2. Ted has had a few too many. His arm is thrown around Beard's shoulder, Beard keeping him up upright as they stumble down the sidewalk to their apartment off campus. "I'm real sorry about this," Ted says, voice hoarse from throwing up behind a bush earlier. "It's fine," Beard tells him, "just like it was the last 3 times you said sorry." "Sorry." Ted is struggling to put one foot in front of the other. "I just feel like I ruined your night." "Nope," Beard says. "You did not." "But you were talking to Lena," he groans. He pats Beard's shoulder excitedly. "Hey, she seems nice." Beard chuckles and shifts Ted's weight. "She does." "Are y'all gonna hang out? 'Cause if so, I'm a Pointer Sister song." It takes a few seconds. "I'm so excited." "Heck yes!" He focuses on getting Ted safely up the stairs, leaning Ted against the wall while he fishes his keys out of his pocket and opening the door, all the while listening to Ted slur the lyrics to "I'm So Excited." Ted kicks off his shoes, stumbling along the hallway to stretch out on the couch with a heavy groan. Beard gets him a glass of water from the kitchen and brings it over. Ted sits up and drains it before abandoning the glass to sprawl out on the couch again. "Come on, not on your back," Beard murmurs. Ted makes a noise of protest, but he turns onto his front with Beard's help. Beard grabs a book from the coffee table and cracks it open to read while he keeps watch over Ted. He reads exactly 3 sentences before Ted's arm flops down off the side of the couch. Ted cracks open the only eye that's visible with one side of his face mashed into the cushion and says, "You don't have to watch me like I'm a 2-year-old with wobbly balance. That's all kinds of fun to watch. Me laying here? Not so much." Beard ignores him. Ted hates it when he thinks he's being an inconvenience, and this isn't the first time they've done this whole song and dance. After more than a year of friendship, he's learned that reassurance doesn't make a dent. At a certain point, ignoring Ted's attempts to shake Beard off is the only option. Ted groans, trying to push himself up, with little success.
All right now. You can go do your thing. I'm right as rain.
Beard continues to ignore him. When Ted speaks again, he lifts his head to glare at Beard, irritation in his tone.
You hearing me? Think I need a babysitter, is that it? Well, I don't. Don't know why you're still sitting there. You're off the hook.
That's new. Ted, Beard says firmly, you walked my ass home last week, and you sat right where I am now to make sure I didn't choke on my vomit. That's how this works. I'm not going anywhere, man.
Ted flops back down like he's a marionette, the last string of his energy cut.
He's quiet for long enough that Beard wonders if Ted's passed out.
You will one day.
Beard lowers his book at the forlorn tone, examining Ted's face. His eyes are closed, face twisted in misery.
What do you mean?
Beard asks tentatively.
My dad was here one day, and then he was dead, Ted grits out.
Fuck. Ted's never mentioned his father before. Not once. Beard has wondered. He's almost asked so many times. The fact that it took a lot of beer for Ted to say it out loud is awful. Beard wants to go over there and hug him. On second thought, Beard gets up and goes over to the couch. He pulls Ted upright, and Ted stiffens in his hold for a moment, like he's surprised, and then his arms come up and grip Beard's shoulders tightly. He exhales shakily into Beard's neck. It's a while before either of them lets go. In the morning, Beard hands Ted a plate of bacon, eggs, and toast. They eat while Ted tells him, sober this time, that yesterday was the 2-year anniversary of his father's death. He gives no other information. Clearly, it's not a subject Ted wants to delve into. After they eat, Beard asks, "What do you want to do today? We can do anything. Go anywhere." Ted ends up choosing a petting zoo, which is exactly the kind of thing that makes Ted so awesome to hang out with. Beard drives them there, and after they've pet and fed some goats and sheep, Ted is beaming and cooing like this is exactly what he needed. When Beard asks where he wants to go next, Ted picks the Wichita Gardens, so they go check out some plants and flowers for a few hours. Next, Ted says he wants barbecue. They buy way more than they'll ever eat and head back to the apartment, and Ted decides he wants to watch a bunch of rom-coms. Beard's all in. Three. Beard gets back from his quantum physics midterm to find Ted about a quarter of the way through a bottle of whiskey. It's 12:30 in the afternoon. Wordlessly, Beard grabs a tumbler from the cupboard, then joins Ted on the couch, steadying Ted's hand as he sways close to pour some into Beard's glass. At least this way, Ted's not drinking alone. You good? Beard asks after a few sips. Ted runs twitching fingers over his mustache. He's grown a full Tom Selleck, and Beard's still getting used to seeing it on Ted's face. It's an adjustment, but it suits him. Plus, the way he fusses with it has become a handy tell for when Ted is anxious, something he's never forthright about. Ted takes a swig straight from the bottle, which, judging by his ruffled hair and shiny eyes, he's evidently been doing for a while. He puts the bottle on his jiggling knee and starts rambling. Me?
Oh, I'm fine, Clementine. Slept past my alarm and missed my econ midterm, but I barely studied for it, so I probably would have failed it anyway. Figured out I can still pass if I get higher than a 96 on the final. And heck, I can do that. Long as I don't sleep through that one, too, I'll be A-okay. Beard blinks as he takes all of that in. Who teaches the class again? Jones? Ted nods, head bobbing up and down a few too many times. They both had him last year for statistics. Ted once made Jones laugh so hard during lecture, he had to sit down to catch his breath. Just talk to him. I'm sure he allows makeups for stuff like this. Also, it's you. Ted eyes him with confusion. What's that supposed to mean? Ted, come on, Beard says, smirking. Ted's pulling his leg. There is a 100% chance Jones lets you make up the midterm. Ted stares at him like Beard's grown a third testicle. Beard laughs. Dude, you're a teacher's dream. You make eye contact, you ask questions but never annoying ones that derail the class, you don't take up a bunch of space trying to seem smart. Like I said, no way Jones doesn't let you make it up. Ted groans. You're just blowing smoke up my butt. Beard laughs again. Are you really going to pretend that just about everyone you meet doesn't adore you with the strength of 1,000 suns? A shadow crosses Ted's face. He breaks their eye contact and takes another swig from the whiskey bottle. Yeah, okay, he says, rolling his eyes. I'm drunk, not dumb. Wait, you're serious? Beard says slowly, watching Ted take another morose swig of whiskey. Holy shit, he breathes out as he realizes Ted really isn't pretending, that he truly has zero concept of how well-liked he is. Sure, Beard's noticed that Ted is pretty bad at taking a compliment, but this is next level. Beard drains his glass with a hiss through his teeth. Ted, no exaggeration. You are the nicest, most charismatic, and genuine person I've ever met. Being around you is like getting a straight shot of dopamine right to the neurons. Is this 'cause I let you have the last slice of pizza last night? Ted jokes, shaking his head with a disbelieving smirk. Beard puts his glass down on the table with a heavy thunk. He ruffles Ted's hair with an affectionate sense of wonder at Ted's self-deprecation. There's this line from a poem, Calypso by W.H. Auden, British-American poet. He presses my hand and he says he loves me, which I find an admirable peculiarity. Ted's blinking at him as he takes another sip of whiskey. Beard's not sure Ted's sober enough to really get what Beard's trying to say, so he laughs, shaking his head. Ted, it is fucking hilarious that you don't know the effect you have on people. The effect I have on people, Ted echoes sarcastically, his eyes wet now. Sure, I'm a peach, all right. The kind of fella that people like to stick around for. Keep these jokes coming. Beard frowns at the hostility in Ted's voice. He claps Ted on the shoulder, squeezing it hard. Watch it. That's my friend you're talking shit about. Ted clears his throat and swipes at his eyes with his sleeve. Beard makes a mental note to compliment Ted more often. Inspired, he says, Okay. You owe me $5 if Jones says, Of course you can write the midterm, Ted. You're the nicest person I've ever met. Ted laughs, then leans forward to put the bottle on the table. You're on. 4. The guard on duty lets Beard make his phone call right away, which is a relief. Sometimes they make you sit there a while first. Stomach in knots, Beard listens to the first ring and watches the cop, slumped over the front desk like he's the one who needs a phone call. Ted picks up midway through the second dial. He sounds alarmed. Hello? Hey, Beard sighs. Silence. Then Ted's off like a shot. Are you okay? Where are you? Are you hurt? Beard swallows thickly. He knows Ted has every reason to assume the worst. It's 3 a.m, and the last time he called Ted for help in the middle of the night, Beard had gone on a 4-day bender, and Ted had spent most of that time worrying and calling around to hospitals and police stations. No, I'm okay, Beard says guiltily. Just, I got picked up by the cops. There's some crackling through the line, and Ted's voice comes through even clearer, like he's pressing the phone to his ear with his shoulder. What's the address? Beard clears his throat in an attempt to get rid of the lump forming there. Sorry, I keep doing this. Hey, come on, Ted says, voice as gentle as the flow of the peaceful creek Beard visited whenever he needed to get away from the house, which was never much of a home to him, just a holding place. It's nothing. What's the address? After Beard tells him and hangs up, the guard brings him to the holding cell. He sits on the bench while he waits and tries to ignore the stench of piss and vomit. His memory of the night is foggy. He knows he went out with a few guys from his organic chem class, and he remembers a fuckload of shots and weed. A fight broke out at the bar. Beard took off because he wasn't about to wait around for the cops to show up. There's a lot of black after that. He doesn't remember walking for 3 miles. He remembers the adrenaline leaving his system, and all that remained were his thoughts, namely that he was a piece of shit, and it would be better for everyone if he wasn't around. He doesn't remember how he ended up standing below the water tower. He does at least remember climbing it, telling himself with every new rung of the ladder that he'd decide once he got to the top. He remembers the spike of fear that grips him as he realized how far he was from the ground, and he remembers the cops waiting for him by the ladder when he reached the bottom. It takes about 20 minutes for Ted to arrive, which means he drove quickly. Beard hears Ted chatting with the guard down the corridor at the front desk. The guard's voice floats down to where Beard is sitting in his cell. TV set's fucking busted. Only plays one damn channel. Whew! Now that's a snooze fest. What you need is a pack of cards. Ted's chipper, like it isn't creeping on 4 a.m, and he isn't here to pick Beard up from the drunk tank. Ooh! Maybe a book of crossword puzzles. That'd pass the time quicker. Beard stands, crackling with guilt-ridden energy. He's lost count of the number of times he's had to call Ted for a favor like this. It was one thing when they were freshmen, but they're seniors now. Ted's serious with Michelle. They're getting a place together after graduation. From time to time, it feels like Ted's the adult, and Beard's his delinquent teenage son. It's situations like this that drive home the gulf between their respective rates of development. Ted materializes beside the guard at the door. There he is, he greets, perfectly happy to see Beard, even though Ted has to be getting sick of his antics. Beard's parents stopped taking his late-night calls after the third, and he figures one of these days Ted's gonna do the same. Beard shuffles out when the guard unlocks the door. The rattle of the cage as the door closes behind him makes his back stiffen like a rod. He needs to commit the sound to memory so he doesn't wind up back here again. Ted's chatting away while he signs Beard's release forms. The guard's name turns out to be Dan, and he's doing this gig so he can save money for the baby that's coming in a few months. Ted pulls that information out of him in about 2 minutes. Beard can only marvel, as he so often does, at Ted's unfailing ability to make people open up, just by virtue of being himself. Before they leave, Dan tells Beard, "Don't be climbing any more water towers. You're lucky they didn't charge you." Ted whips his head around to look at Beard, eyes wide. Beard's a coward, so he turns on his heel and leads the way outside, unable to handle the expression on Ted's face. In the car, Ted doesn't start the engine. Beard can feel the tension like it's an entity sitting right between them. He lasts a minute in the strained silence, and then he can't take another second. "I'm sorry," he murmurs.
"Yeah, you should be," Ted shouts. He clenches his hands into fists a few times, shaking his fingers out. Beard's stomach churns. He has seen Ted annoyed and frustrated plenty, but angry? He's seen it exactly once, directed at a frat asshole who tried to take a drunk girl away from a mixer, and Beard was right there along with him. For Ted, anger is reserved for matters of gravity. Beard nods, eyes stinging. "I know I can't keep calling like this." "That ain't what I'm saying." Ted's not shouting anymore, but every word is laced with fury. "Climb in a goddamn water tower? What the hell were you thinking? You could have broken your neck or busted your ass or worse. What were you even doing up there?" Beard recoils at the crack in Ted's voice. He can't bring himself to admit what he was doing. Not when Ted looks and sounds so scared. Ted clenches his hands on the steering wheel, and when he speaks, his voice is in tattered shreds. "Promise you'll call me. I don't give a damn what time it is." Ted blows out a long, ragged breath, and his voice wobbles horribly as he grits out, "'Cause the alternative is a call I never want to fucking take. You hear me?" Beard nods, tears in his eyes. "I hear you." "Good." Ted takes in a deep breath and lets it out, then starts the car and pops the cover on the storage compartment of the center console. "Now, what are we listening to?" While Ted starts the drive home, Beard's vision blurs as he flips through Ted's cassette tape collection. Eventually, the mission he's been given to select some music grounds him, and his breathing evens out. He picks Whitney Houston, just to see Ted smile. 5. Beard doesn't realize what the date is until he sees a text from Ted asking if he'll cover training today, with no reason given. September 13th. They mark September 13th in the roundabout way that Ted seems to be capable of handling, which is to get drunk, not talk about it, and allow Beard to accompany him on whatever activities he needs to do to distract himself. They've known each other for so long, and still Beard knows next to nothing about Ted's dad. Beard's not sure how he died, but he has a strong theory. It's obvious it was sudden, and a defining moment in Ted's life. Even when Beard was at his lowest, almost entirely MIA for about 3 years, he always made a point of calling to check in on September 13th. It's sacrosanct. It's not the weirdest training they've ever had, but it's pretty close.
They've started to become accustomed to Nate's absence around the clubhouse. But when it's just him and Roy, there's not a whole lot of talking. As soon as training is over, Beard heads to Ted's place. Ted answers the door in an old tee and a pair of sweatpants. His mouth hangs open in surprise for a moment before he smiles.
Hey!
Hey, Coach, Beard says, surprised himself. All things considered, Ted looks okay. He doesn't appear to be soaked in whiskey or beer, and he's actually smiling. Stopped by to see what you want to do today, where you want to go. Ted's eyes do that soft thing. Thanks, Coach. Actually, I'm doing exactly what I want today, and your stopping by just made it infinitely better. Come on in. Beard enters as requested. Ted leads the way to the sofa, and Beard joins him. On the coffee table is an open photo album. Ted grabs it with both hands to prop it between them. Grabbed this while I was in Kansas, Ted says. That's my dad. He points at a picture of a man who looks a heck of a lot like Ted. Same smile, same eyes. Beard doesn't say a word. Ted says, I've been going to this new therapist, and one of the things I'm trying is not shutting out all the complicated feelings I got about my dad. I've looked through this photo album every day since we got back for the season, and I'll tell you what, it's helping. Ted flips to another page. This is my favorite, he murmurs, tapping it. For a long time, all I could remember were the times he was in a bad way, depressed. In the photo, Ted's father is laughing. Ted takes a tissue from a box nestled between his thigh and the couch and wipes at his streaming eyes. It's nice to see proof there were times he was happy. Beard puts his hand on Ted's shoulder. He knows what's coming before Ted says it. Some part of him has known since the night he climbed the water tower. He killed himself when I was 16. I'm the one who found him and, well, I'm still pretty messed up about it. Fuck. Beard's grip must be painful now. It's so tight. He loosens it to rub Ted's back. Normally, I do everything I can not to think about today, because it's real hard for me. I've been unpacking it with the new doc. Stuff I blocked out, stuff I couldn't block unless I drank myself to oblivion, Ted says, voice hoarse. I never told you what happened, and I hope you can understand why. Course, Beard rasps out. His throat is so tight that it's difficult to speak, but he wants to say this much. I hope you can forgive me for not asking. Ted shakes his head. I don't think I would have told you if you had. Beard rubs Ted's shoulder. I'm glad you're telling me about him now. Ted smiles, then flips back to the beginning. Beard settles deep into the couch, each of them holding one cover of the album while Ted tells him stories. They're stories Beard's never heard before, beautiful and sad ones, all of them a treasure trove of memories that open a new window into the most important person in Beard's life. 2 decades and counting. Plus one. When Beard gets home, nausea overcomes him and he has to rush to the bathroom to throw up. He hasn't had much of an appetite lately, so there's a lot of dry heaving. After he's cleaned up, he goes to the kitchen table to sit with his phone, which he knows will light up with calls and texts soon. He has to figure out what to say. It's just hard to think. Beard's heart rate jackknifes as soon as his phone begins to ring. A big part of him wants to smash it to pieces so he can't send or receive a single call or text ever again. He's so tired. He ignores the call for now, just until he figures out what to say to Jane. There's another loud series of notifications for several incoming messages, and his stomach churns like he's going to be sick all over again. The memory rears its head. The horror show he just put on with Jane in full view of his coworkers. Jane showed up at the clubhouse right as he was leaving training. He hadn't texted her back all morning, and she wasn't happy about it, even though he tried to explain he was working. The scene devolved quickly, as it always seems to. Beard tried to move the conversation somewhere private and, when Jane refused to budge, attempted to explain why it wasn't okay for her to corner him at his workplace. It ended with Jane in tears, shouting and shoving him against her car before jumping in and driving off. He feels like shit for making her cry. He always seems to be doing that, one way or another. But the fact that he made her cry in full view of Ted, Roy, and Higgins, shame burns through him. It's hard to think. He's only sleeping a couple hours a night. It was up and down with Jane last year, but ever since coming back from Kansas, things between them have been like a seismograph recording of a Category 7 earthquake. Beard turns his phone face down on the kitchen table while he thinks about what to do or say. He's obviously a terrible person, and Jane deserves someone better, someone who doesn't make her cry and scream and lose her temper. He needs to apologize, but what exactly is he apologizing for? And what about after? He'll just fuck it up again. He looks at Jane's string of messages. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have pushed you like that. You just make me feel so out of control. I love you, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, okay? You're a real piece of shit, you know that? And a coward. Pathetic, cowardly piece of shit. I love you. Come on, pick up! Beard lets his phone drop back down to the table. Maybe if they tried couples counseling again. But that didn't seem to help the first time. If anything, it made things worse, because the therapist said he needed to talk and express his feelings more, and that doesn't come easy to him. Never has. Probably never will. Lately, he doesn't feel much of anything, besides bone-deep exhaustion. Maybe they need another break, a real one this time. Maybe they're just too different, or too similar, or... There's a knock at his door. His body seizes. It might be Jane. He's not ready for an in-person conversation with her. He just needs to think. Then he remembers. She doesn't knock. She has her own key, so she can let herself in. Beard makes his way to the door. It's Ted, looking as worried as he did 11 years and 5 months ago when, by chance, he ran into Beard coming out of a meth den in Topeka, at his absolute rock bottom, and saved Beard's life. Beard opens the door wider for Ted to enter, too drained to speak. Ted takes his jacket off and follows Beard into the kitchen. Beard pours them glasses of water, and they sit. Ted's been sober for 3 months now, and Beard has made it a point not to drink around him. The idea of choosing not to be on any mind-altering substances is something Beard truly cannot imagine for himself. There are countless moments from his past where the truth has stared him in the face, how addicted he is to anything that takes him outside the terrifying place that is his own head. it would probably be a good idea for Beard to at least try sobriety. But, well, Jane's right. He is a coward. He'll just add sobriety to the long list of things Beard admires about Ted. Ted drinks his water, but otherwise stays silent. The thing about Ted is, he's a chatterbox, but he's really good at creating silence so cavernous Beard feels himself wanting to fill it. He doesn't feel that way with anyone else in his life, past or present. "You good, Coach?" Beard finally asks. Ted puts his glass down on the table. "Me?" Ted meets Beard's eye. "Well, it's not me I'm thinking about right now. Are you good?" Beard opens his mouth to reassure Ted, to tell him he's good, but nothing comes out. He can't remember the last time he felt good. Beard's phone starts buzzing again. He reaches for it reflexively, but he's distracted when Ted leans forward on his elbows and asks, "Can I say something?" His gaze snaps up, and he jerks his hand away from the phone like it's iron hot. He nods. "I've been telling myself I'll be here when you're ready to talk, and I should mind my beeswax till you are. But that was a mistake." Ted's eyes are overflowing with concern. "This is officially me pushing, begging you to talk to me. 'Cause I'm worried about you, Coach." Beard's heart is pounding in his ears. His voice shakes as he says, "I'm fine." It's far from the first time he said those dishonest words to Ted, but it somehow feels worse to say them now. Ted leans back in his chair heavily and crosses his arms. "You are not being honest with me." Beard startles at being called out. Ted usually backs off when Beard says he's fine. He attempts a shrug of nonchalance. "Yeah, I'm a mess. That's nothing new." "No, you're..." "Don't insult me, Ted," Beard snaps. "Don't act like it's not true. You've had a passenger seat on most of this ride. I'm a fucking mess, always have been. You know better than anyone." "I vehemently disagree," Ted says firmly. "Here's what I know. You struggle like anyone else. No shame in that. Life is hard. None of us go through it without suffering, so we can at least make it easier for each other. But you're not letting me try." "One of these days," Beard says, clipped, "you're going to figure out I'm not worth a second of your time or energy. I'm just waiting for that to happen." Ted shouts, "Well, you can keep on waiting then, 'cause that ain't ever gonna happen." Beard can feel pressure building behind his eyes, and he exhales slowly. Ted does the same across the table. Voice trembling, Beard says, "You saw how it went with Jane today. I'm fucked up." Ted takes on a stern tone. "I certainly did see what happened with Jane, and I didn't like what I saw, but what I didn't see was how a lick of it is your fault." "Well, obviously it was," Beard says fiercely. "There's a cause to every effect." "That don't make you the cause. She threw you against her car. How is that right? I know you'd agree if it were anyone else. Why is it any different just 'cause it's you?" Beard averts his gaze. Plaintively, Ted continues, "And I know you care about her. I'm not here to tell you how to feel or what to do. But I can't watch you suffer like this and pretend I don't see it." Ted's shoulders heave with an emotional exhale. "I'm worried you won't make it to your next birthday if you keep going like this. And I need you, Beard. You've been my port in the storm so many times. Please, let me try and do the same. Ted gives him an imploring look. A wise man once told me not to keep it all bottled up. Come on, you've been hibernating way too long. It ain't winter no more. Beard drops his head in his hands. Ted fucking Lasso. Then the words are coming, wrenched from him like they're demons being exorcised. I'm so fucking tired. My brain feels foggy. I can't think. I'm barely eating. My hair's starting to fall out. I feel like I can't trust my judgment. Things were good at first, but it's gotten so bad since we got back. I feel like I'm always saying or doing the wrong thing. All I want is for it to work, to make Jane happy. But nothing works. I want to throw this fucking phone away, but I can't because the thought of doing that makes me physically sick. We argue constantly, for hours sometimes, but I can never figure out how we get into them. There are like 40 topics that I don't bring up, and by the end of the fights, I'm not even sure what the hell we were arguing about anymore. Ted, it's like I'm stepping on all the landmines, and then it's my fault because I should have known that there was a landmine every fucking step. She does push me sometimes, and she's broken a bunch of my shit. She hit me twice, but I don't know, we were high both times. I have no idea how to de-escalate when she gets like that. I leave the room or the apartment, try to let her cool down, but sometimes she won't let me. I can't put it all on her, because I don't feel like I'm in control either. I feel like I'd do anything to make her happy. Dumb shit like throw myself into the Thames just to show her how much I love her. I don't know what I want anymore. Sometimes I want her more than I can stand, and other times I can't stand her. This is exactly why I'm not a relationship guy. I can't be trusted. I'm too fucked up to be in a normal relationship. Who the hell is going to put up with this? Jane does. She puts up with me. I've tried to end it a few times, but it never sticks. I change my mind. I don't know if I can leave. She says I'll be alone if I do. And I'm scared she's right. It feels like the only option is to stay. When he's all talked out, Ted says, "Well, fuck." Beard laughs, a burst of hysteria. It's been a while since he laughed. Ted sighs ruefully. I'm sorry I didn't say something sooner. I haven't been keeping up my end of this. Then he leans forward, earnestly. But, Beard, if you decide you want to leave, for good, you ain't gonna be alone. I'll be there. Heck, I'm gonna be a Motown song by Lionel Richie. Beard thinks. Stuck on you? Ted taps the side of his nose. Beard exhales an existentially heavy breath and nods, relieved beyond measure. It feels like Ted just extracted poison from his bloodstream. The fog he's been in for so long seems less thick now that he has released some of the toxins. He still doesn't know what he's going to do about Jane, but he knows that, whatever he does decide, Ted will be right there next to him. That was a lot of talking, something that doesn't always come naturally to him. The call for sleep clamps down on him like this is exactly what he was waiting for, to be released from the burden that's been weighing him down. Possibly, Ted notices, because he helps Beard to his feet, insisting he go lie down for a while. Then he starts making something for dinner out of the meager ingredients in Beard's pantry. Beard knows better than to argue when Ted's fussing like that, so he does as directed, leaving his phone on the kitchen table. From his bed, he listens to Ted puttering around in the kitchen. Decades in, Beard still finds himself struggling to make words happen, but Ted's always understood and accepted that about him. Ted gives him time and space, and when Beard's ready, he listens. But as it turns out, sometimes Beard needs to be pushed. It's oddly comforting that they can still surprise each other after so many years of friendship, that they're always able to find a new approach into each other. He can hear Ted humming as he starts to doze off. It might just be the most comforting sound he's ever heard. The end.